Hi, I'm Hedley Grant from rugbylife.com, here with the second part of a two-part podcast on the Mayor's Cup and the organisers behind that, Play Rugby USA. The following interview was conducted with two of the members of the fantastic team behind Play Rugby USA, so please sit back and enjoy. All right, I'm here today with the folks from Play Rugby USA, with founder Mark Griffin and director of programs Christian Mayo. Hi, gentlemen, how are you doing?
Very well, thanks.
Very well, thank you.
Good stuff. So, Mark, I'll start with the other. So tell us a little bit about Play Rugby USA and how it came about.
Came about in 2003. I'd been over here for a few years at that point, actually working in banking, of all things, and I played a lot of rugby over here, and I was actually away with the national team thinking about how I could sort of try and get more kids involved in rugby, because it had been a huge part of my life in England and my development, and it was obvious to me, having been in New York for a few years, that the kids generally seemed to be quite excluded from opportunities to participate in sport. So we set up Play Rugby in 2003, and then later that year and early in 2004 we started doing weekend programs with the kids, and it all sort of really went from there.
Okay. Christian, how did you get involved in the project?
I actually played rugby against Mark for, I think, 3 or 4 years. We actually played with each other for the All-Star team, the New York Northeast All-Star team. So I was working for a company called McLean Securities, and I'd finished up there, so Mark had started up this, so I jumped on board, and that was in 2006, yeah.
All right. So, like, I mean, both of you, I could gather there a little bit, like, you know, you were in banking, you were in finance, what the sound of it, some sense on it as well. How did you, I mean, you both, but I mean, most people in this room are the listeners, that, you know, Mark, you're originally from England, you're originally from Australia. How did you go from your respective islands to end up in another island? I mean, what brought you out here?
To be honest, mine was, I was working with Barclays, and I was on a rotational sort of graduate training program, and I was offered an opportunity to come out here for 10 months and sort of never went back.
That usually happens to most of us here.
Yeah. I've obviously met a lot of expats that have done the same thing, and it was as much really to do with the with New York City and all my rugby friends and contacts, and I was getting really immersed in that as part of the reason I stayed here.
All right, Christian?
Yeah, a friend of mine played for New York Athletic Club, so I always wanted to come to America and experience life here and play rugby. So I was working with Sydney University Sport at the time and was looking for new things to explore, and moved here in 2004 to check it out.
Right. Now, I know from the things you guys do, a lot of different programs and stuff, from coaching, curriculum, playing clubs, clinics. Can you tell us a little bit about the different programs that you have?
Sure, I'll give a little summary and then hand over to Christian, because he manages all that stuff. But our core sort of business, if you like, and the big part of our charity is providing services to kids that would otherwise probably be excluded from sports and are generally from sort of underserved neighbourhoods throughout the city. And probably 85% of what we do is based around that, and that is delivering coaches directly to schools and youth organisations as part of their after-school programmes to provide rugby-themed youth development services. And then in addition to that, we have free weekend clinics and camps and so on and so forth. So that's really the nuts and bolts of what we do, which generally culminates in some sort of event like the Mayor's Cup. Mm.
Yeah, so we've got 8 coaches that pretty much go out after school from 3 to 6 o'clock. My job with the company is handling those relationships with the school, making sure the program runs smoothly and also the kids are actually engaged. But the big thing that we're seeing now is the enrichment programs on the weekends. The kids of the schools are actually setting up teams and committing to those programs on the weekends. So.
Good stuff. And now you mentioned the Mayor's Cup, and that's one of the things that we've been, you know, I actually turned up to as well. It was a great thing. How did the idea for the Mayor's Cup tournament come about?
We started in 2006 and through 2007 trying to set up a league, essentially, to give the kids opportunities to participate in teams. And it was very informal. It's very, very hard to get all the kids together on a weekly basis. It's just too hard for them to leave the school, get to a field where everyone can come to together and then go back. So we tried that and decided that, well, let's instead try and focus on one event at the end of each season. And we I think in the spring of 2007 ran our first sort of little culminating event, which was attended by about 100 students. And that was really the initial seed that was planted for the Mayor's Cup. I had the opportunity to meet Ken Podziba early in 2008 and sort of referred to what we had done and how the programs that we'd had, and he said, well, why don't we take your culminating event and create a Mayor's Cup, which then sort of comes with a bit of city endorsement and support. So obviously I pulled his arm off on that one, and we had the first Mayor's Cup in 2008 last year.
Yep.
Okay. How did this year's Cup compare to last year's?
I'm going to hand over to Christian on this.
In short,
my summary would be, last year was an awesome first effort. Awesome. 23 teams, 300 kids, so on and so forth. But this year, absolutely blew it away. So I'll hand over to Christian on this one. It was overwhelmingly positive.
Yeah, no, it was incredible. We had a huge increase in the numbers. We had 24 middle schools this year. Last year, I think we had, Mark, was it?
Well, 24 teams in total.
Right, exactly. So that's it, yeah. And then the elementary bracket, we had 10 teams. So 38 schools in total. The feedback that we've received from everyone has just been so overwhelming, so positive. You know, all the kids wearing the Canterbury jerseys.
Yeah, and I have to say, that was one of the things that I know from a lot of the fans and people that were sitting here actually at the event, was people love the idea that all the schools were represented by nations. Now, who came up with that idea? Who gets the credit for that one?
Well, I think it was an idea.
Will?
We brainstormed it with Canterbury because we looked at 24 teams. We thought, well, that's kind of like a World Cup sort of tournament. And yeah, I think we all just sort of
brainstormed.
It's been
banter about that before, actually. We talked about doing that before, in our after-school program. I reckon as long ago as a couple of years ago. But when we all sat down last year to brainstorm about sort of like a feedback session on last year's Mayor's Cup, and there was all sorts of different ideas thrown out, which that was one of them. And this year we were lucky enough, Christian and I, to have met with, you know, Canterbury New Zealand earlier in the year, and we just sort of met with them, and they said straight off the bat that they would sponsor the jerseys for the tournament, and then it was just following up, and it's, I guess it just came out in conversation.
Right.
Christian mentioned it to Canterbury, and they're like, oh yeah, no problem, let's do it.
So, excellent.
And the other great thing about that is that the kids actually had to do research projects about their country, so they had to answer questions about their nation and bring those project packs to the tournament to get their jersey.
Excellent. So, that's great. That's a good way to tie it together. And I mean, and we talked about Canterbury in there. You seem to have done pretty well from sponsors. I mean, there seemed to be really good representation there of different sponsors.
Yeah. Again, a massive improvement over last year. I think sponsorship increased by 300% for the Mayor's Cup. And we also held a fundraising cocktail reception last week as well, to try and raise money for the Mayor's Cup, because obviously the bigger it gets, when we're not charging any students or schools to participate in it, the more money it costs. and this year, I guess the biggest sponsor was HSBC, who stepped up as a title sponsor for both events, which was fantastic. It really fits in well with their sort of global support of rugby as well. And then Canterbury, obviously, with the uniforms, which was a fantastic in-kind service for us. And we had a number of other organisations that stepped up and supported the event, which enabled it to be bigger and better, obviously, for all the kids.
I think one bit that's funny that I should mention is that if anyone was at the Six Nations, a lot of people remember seeing the Satanta commercial that you guys did as well, which was played quite a lot through there. And actually, there was one of my cohorts from the Lions actually was there, actually laughed. He goes, at one point, he spotted you, and he goes, isn't that the guy off Satanta commercial out there?
Satanta have been great, actually, and brought into our vision, which is essentially a national vision. You know, we really want to, like, change kids' lives through rugby, and the philosophy's always been developing youth through rugby, and Satanta's really bought into that. And so for an organisation that, in relative terms of the youth rugby organisation, we're very big, but in relative terms to other non-profits, we're still very small. And so for them to provide us with that coverage is great. And it's also enabled us to solidify our relationship a little bit with USA Rugby with regard to the Rookie Rugby Club, which is this online community for kids and parents and teachers to learn more about the game, because a lot of them don't know anything about it.
Yeah, and I know from myself, having spoken to a couple of coaches and did a couple of interviews at the tournament as well, which there was a real range of backgrounds and experiences with the coaches. How do you think that's helped shape the programs?
The coaches you would have met would have probably been people that were some would have been just assigned on the day to manage the teams, and others would have been Department of Education teachers. 15 of the middle schools there were represented and coached by Department of Education teachers that we have trained how to coach rugby. Some of the other coaches are our coaches. So it would very much depend on which sort of coach you're referring to. But our coaches just tend to be people that have been involved in rugby, have flexible sort of jobs and very passionate about rugby and can commit time to work with a specific group of students for a period of time and build that relationship. I think the most exciting thing that's happened really has been the volunteers that stepped up.
Like basically people that we've never met coming. The rugby community in New York has really supported the program and sort of bought into it. There was a lot of people we haven't met before that turned up on the day and since have emailed us and they're like, we want to get involved now.
Fantastic.
One of the things as well, as a former ref myself, that I thought was great was to see that some of the referees were kids. How did that come about?
One name, Bobby Koretsky. Bobby Koretsky is one of the volunteers that is just running around like a madman for us for a couple of weeks prior to the tournament and has a very, very good relationship with Morristown Rugby, or Morris Rugby in New Jersey, which is actually an amalgamation of about 8 different towns that have a massive youth rugby program. It's been going now probably for about 10 years. And they've got to the point now where a lot of their players are old enough to start sort of giving back into the game, even at an early age, start refereeing and coaching. So those younger referees came from that Morris program, and I believe there's about 10 or so of the Morris program there helping on the day, and that was obviously, that made a huge difference with those guys, plus the local referee society providing Jim, the adult refs, and Jem and pulled all those boys in.
Yeah, and I know from a few of the other clubs out there who recognise a lot of the adult refs out there, they were sort of saying, you know, these kid refs, we'd prefer to have them out there on the field sometimes and, you know, the ones we usually get. So at this point now, we're in the summer, school's out. What have you got lined up for the summer?
Well, we've got a big summer program with the Sports and Arts and Schools Foundation. They're a big CBO that provides funding for a lot of public schools. We'll probably be working in 4 or 5 schools a week from Monday through to Thursday for about 6 or 7 weeks. So that's a big partnership that we have with them. We're hoping to do 2 camps up in Pelham in Westchester and then maybe a series of camps in the city at Pier 40. But we're just pulling all that information together right now. So summer's normally pretty busy for us. That's sort of our next job post Mayor's Cup.
I think there's quite a few people at the Mayor's Cup that are, how can my kid get involved and so on and so forth. And the summer camps obviously is an easy way for them to get an introduction to rugby. So we'll put all that information on our website probably in the next 2 weeks once the fields have been completely finalised. But Pelham and Manhattan certainly is the open programmes, and all the other stuff will be just run through the public schools through sports and arts and that relationship. So it's pretty busy.
So from now after that, so you've got the full season and the next year. What have you got coming up?
The intention is to continue growing the program by another 40% for the next sort of academic year, which is what we've done the last couple of years. Obviously, there's challenges with that now with the economic climate and budget cuts, which has affected a lot of the schools and stuff. But the fact of the matter is that it's a massive market in New York and the kids love playing rugby, so we just have to continue to promote the program. So it's really more of the same from a programming perspective. The thing we've really got to focus on now is to really get our operating budget to catch up with our program. So we've been focusing a lot of time on writing grants, and we're trying to set up 2 sports leadership academies, which essentially become community centres of excellence for sports education. And that's really pending on a receipt of grants. So if we get those, we'll be able to really serve a lot more children up in Harlem and provide a lot more of a comprehensive program around academics and various sports, with rugby being like our core sort of hook, of course.
Now, I know outside of New York City that you've also been branching into a few other cities and stuff as well. What other cities at the moment have got programs and stuff starting up?
Boston's starting up with one of our ex-colleagues from New York, Justin Goonan, who's now working for us up there, and really just in the relationship building phase. But it's a pretty good community up in Boston there. And we've dabbled a little bit down in Philadelphia, and we've got a good relationship with the Philadelphia Foundation there, and with the school district, and we're trying to reach out to some community-based organizations in Philadelphia. And the last place that we need to get funding for before we can do anything is San Francisco, where we have a couple of board members. And it, again, it's a very good community in that Oakland area. There's a big need, as well as actually in some of the public schools in San Fran.
It's also a really big rugby community out there as well. So.
Yeah, there's a lot more rugby visibility out there. But again, that, I think that helps from the purpose of getting coaches and volunteers and that sort of thing. With regard to the schools, doesn't matter too much because you still have to be proactive to get into the schools anyway. But again, it's going to come down to operating budget. We have to get the seed money to do that properly so we don't spread ourselves too thin. We'd like to be in 10 cities in 5 years, but we can't do that until we, you know, build up the capacity in the office to support quality programs in each of those places.
Yeah. Saying that all gets established and stuff, so can we expecting to see more multiple Mayor's Cups, or will the Mayor's Cup move around? How do you vision? I mean, do we even see there being a President's Cup?
I spoke to Obama the other day and he was all over it. It's not beyond the realms of possibility, I suppose. But certainly, no, in our sort of vision, really, we want to have a Mayor's Cup. We would like to do regional cups. We'd love to have a national cup. We'd love to ultimately get some of the kids the opportunity to travel to other countries and play rugby, which is obviously a huge part of the rugby opportunity that we, over time, would like to try and, you know, get funding to support. So, for sure, that's on the list, right? But
well, just great to see what we did last weekend replicated in different cities.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that was a lot of feedback we saw as well, that people would love to see it as well. Going back to the actual Mayor's Cup itself, I mean, I know that there were two pairs that was picked out from the elementary and from the middle school as MVPs. And I gathered that you're actually working on a new program to actually assist one of the MVPs.
Yeah, Issa, who's sort of
a phenomenal athlete.
He's been in the program for, well, only a year and a half, I suppose, 2 years. He started playing rugby last year, didn't he? Pretty much NFL speed he's got as a 12-year-old. And he wants to keep playing rugby. And obviously one of the challenges with us is that when our kids leave the eighth grade and move off to a high school, it's very hard for us to get all their contact information and keep them involved. But he's one student that we've... He's basically been accepted from an academic perspective into Xavier High School, which will be an awesome opportunity for him to continue playing football, American football, but also continue playing rugby. We're essentially trying to create a play rugby scholarship for him so he can go there, and that will help his family considerably in enabling him to go there to pay for the fee. So that's the next 2 weeks priority. We're trying to make a few phone calls to make that happen.
Good stuff. Yeah, and I know from I know that you guys are coming to get a lot of photos and stuff from the tournament stuff as well. One of the things that I think that a lot of people have made comments, particularly American friends of mine, about it, is that in American sports, there's a lot of the sort of, there's not the same sort of camaraderie or the same sort of friendship of the sport. Has it been something that you've been very hard, been really easy to find to distill the sort of camaraderie, and, you know, at the end of the game, everyone sort of cheers the other team, irrespective of what the result is?
Yeah, absolutely. The organisation's got a charter, a 10-value charter system that we instill through our lesson plan. So we really try and reinforce that with the tournament. So that's a huge part of the program. It's a youth development program primarily. Rugby's a great fitness activity, but also the camaraderie and the leadership and the respect that you get from the sport is fantastic.
Yeah, and I mean, to be honest, that has been the number one thing that's made our program successful. Having those values integrated into an actual curriculum whereby the kids learn to... they learn those life skills in a sort of a playground setting, but then they actually get to put them into practice in a team setting, in a tournament, has really differentiated the program from just regular sports and rec, and indeed from a lot of other sports where those sportsmanship sort of components and the camaraderie you get just from the nature of the game itself are very different with rugby. And that is literally how we sell, if you like, the game to principals. They don't know what rugby is, so we talk about the values and how the kids are going to learn the values, and they're going to have a lot of fun and keep fit. And by the way, it's called rugby. That's the core of rugby.
I mean, I think the one thing that was really obvious there was how passionate these kids are about it. And I mean, I think you, Christian, you made a good observation about it from the games.
Just the sheer emotion that was coming out of each player's faces. you know, there was a couple of tough losses. There was a lot of tears that were spilt, but also a lot of high-fiving and other players, like, on the shoulders after a victory. And, yeah, it was fantastic to see. And we'd never seen that before. In all the tournaments that we've run, we hadn't seen that kind of emotion, which basically puts rugby as a real sport. It legitimises what we do.
Yeah, and I think part of the reason you see such extremes of emotion is that obviously it's a testament to the sport and the coaches and stuff, but it's also explained by the fact that a lot of kids do not get the opportunity to play team sports. So for a lot of our middle school girls, for instance, they don't necessarily participate in any other sports. And so they're not used to being part of a team. They're not used to the sort of the ecstatic feeling you get from winning or the devastating feeling you get from a loss that Christian and I play week in, week out. We're used to it. We know how to deal with it. Yep. They don't. And so you see those extremes, and it's very rewarding to see it, but it was also, there's a couple of tearjerkers as well. Yeah, we had the whole sunglasses going a couple of times.
Yeah. Just see, folks, rugby players do cry sometimes, you see. And not just in pain either.
You have a sense of
it. If people do want to get involved and want to find out more information, where should we direct them? Where should we send them?
PlayRugbyUSA.com is obviously the easiest way. All our contact information's on there.
Yeah.
And for both Christian and myself. And obviously, you can see from the Mayor's Cup, it doesn't work without volunteers. We always need people to get involved. We're always looking for people right from the board level down to just people that want to help out at events or people that want to get involved coaching. So definitely the website, I would think. PlayRugbyUSA.com.
Absolutely.
All right. Gentlemen, thank you very much. Good luck with everything, and it's been a pleasure.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
Hope you enjoyed today's podcast, and thank you for listening in. Tune in next time for more of A Rugby Life. Cheers.